From the KTOO studios in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton with this statewide and local news update. The Petersburg School District is looking at starting a new sport at the high school, esports. It's video gaming, and as KFSK's Angela Denning reports, it's one of the fastest growing team-based competitions for youth in the state.
Back again.
Over 40 million people watched this video game playing out on their screens last year. It was the World Championships of League of Legends.
There was no fight to be had for SKT.
So that was a very smart play.
Jack Beyer is a junior at Petersburg High School. He's giving a presentation to the school board on what esports is and why his club wants to start a team by next spring. He says they will eventually be able to compete against other schools.
It's just a sport. It's a team-based competition, much like basketball or football, but it just includes video games instead.
Beyer acts as the club's coach right now. He says in competition, teams use the skill sets of individual players to overcome the opposing team.
It's kind of like a game of chess. You outsmart your opponent so you can take all of their pieces until they fall. Except with esports, the decisions that can win games are not made in minutes, but in seconds and milliseconds.
Over 30 schools in the state have esports teams starting up this fall. Alaska has followed Connecticut as the second state to join a national gaming program, Electronic Gaming Federation. The program supports three video games in a controlled setting: League of Legends, which is a battle arena video game, Rocket League, a soccer video game that also involves racing vehicles, and Overwatch, a shooter game. There is shooting, fighting, and destroying other characters in the games, but they are rated age appropriate. The high school competitions would be online, so little travel is needed, but Petersburg High School principal Rick Dormer says the players will still be held to the same academic requirements and drug policies as other sports.
They're a team, and they really will be Petersburg Vikings competing, which means something here. You know, you're part of the community, you are representing, and just because you're not, you know, jumping and slamming a basketball, you are competing against other schools, and that self-pride, and a lot of scientific studies show that that is a higher connectedness in school, and kids always do better in school when they're more connected.
Most of the games require at least 5 players. In Petersburg, the students meet every weekday from 3 to 5 p.m. in the school's technology room.
And they thought first I lost my mind because we've been saying no gaming on the school-issued laptops.
That's the district's technology director, John Kluepainter. He supports esports, even though he also encourages limiting screen time. Last year, he helped bring the film Screenagers to town, which highlights the negative impacts of too much screen time on youth. Kluepainter says he understands the mixed message, but he says esports gives gamers who otherwise might be playing alone an opportunity to come together.
These kids are gaming already. They're doing this at home and in their free time. Giving them an environment to do it that's organized and safe, I think, is really one of the strong points to this.
Petersburg's activities director, Jamie Cabral, says although it hasn't happened yet, the Alaska School Activities Association will be accepting esports as a sanctioned sport soon. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
One of the most important tools for ensuring government representation and the distribution of federal funds relies on neighbors counting neighbors. The 2020 United States Census is more than a year away, but as KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports, government officials are already planning the effort to count each person living in rural Alaska.
The first person in the nation to be counted for the U.S. Census is always in rural Alaska. The 2010 census began in Norvik with Clifton Jackson, a World War II veteran and the community's oldest resident. Census manager Corey Novy explains that Norvik and Jackson were both selected after a long vetting process.
We work with local organizations and groups to get recommendations on the first tribe. And then the tribal chairman actually picks the first person in the nation to be enumerated.
To be enumerated is to be counted in the census. The tradition of beginning the count in rural Alaska began in 1990. The census committee is down to a shortlist of 3 potential communities to be counted first. They expect to be making an announcement soon.
And every tribe that we've worked with in the past when we've done this has considered this really an honor to kick off the census.
The U.S. Census will begin in January of 2020 in rural Alaska. The rest of the nation will begin its count 3 months later in March. The reason?
Because if we wait too late, we can't access those villages.
Spring breakup, spring storms, subsistence activities, and all the weather-dependent and transportation issues of rural Alaska require an early start. Plus, it's great publicity for the census to begin in Alaska. In 2010, when Clifton Jackson was the first person counted, the national director of the Census Bureau himself, Robert Groves, flew to Norvik. He rode a dog sled from the airstrip to the school, where he ate whale meat with village elders before walking to Clifton Jackson's door. And rural Alaska is one of the few places where people will be walking door-to-door counting or enumerating people using paper surveys. Most of the nation in 2020 will be using computer apps instead. You could be one of the enumerators in your community. The census is hiring, and the pay is pretty good. $28 per hour for enumerators. Supervisors will be paid even more. The census wants these positions filled by local workers with local knowledge of the community and language.
Having local residents enumerate within their own communities ensures an accurate count.
And an accurate count, especially for federally recognized tribes, is critical. The population and household data gathered in the census largely dictates the federal funding the tribes will receive over the coming decade. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And finally, someone turned in a 99-year-old U.S. flag to the Ketchikan American Legion for disposal. The flag is in good shape, and the Legion Post Number 3 plans to reframe it. They're looking for the former owner to get more information on this truly old, old glory. KRBD's Layla Carey has more.
Veteran and American Legion member Hunter Davis pulls the old flag out of a large zippered plastic bag and unfolds it. The colors are still bright, and the fabric has aged well. It's clearly old, though, and to confirm that, it's got a date stamped right on the edge.
This is stenciled USE number 12, Mare Island, March of 1919.
USE stands for U.S. Ensign, and ensign is the Navy's word for a flag. Davis says number 12 is the smallest flag size authorized for the Navy, and Mare Island off California was the location of a U.S. naval shipyard, which produced a lot of flags over the years. All that is known from the stencil.
Our question is, who turned it in to us? Because we'd like to get some background information on it, because we intend to frame it, double-sided glass, and hang it in the post. Whoever turned it in, it's roughly 20 inches by probably 40-some inches.
It's machine-sewn and hand-assembled. The stars are most likely hand-stitched. The American Legion accepts old and worn-out flags for honorable disposal. Members perform that disposal once a year during a ceremony on Flag Day, which is June 14th.
And we will accept flags, U.S. flags, Alaska flags. And also, if you need to order them, contact us. You can leave a message and we will help you if you need new flags.
Davis says they've received other interesting flags through the years that they hung on to rather than disposing.
We're pretty sure they're all reproductions. But we've had a Betsy Ross flag turned in, a 48-star flag turned in. One of the Bennington flags have been turned in. So there's no telling what may show up in our box.
A Bennington flag has 13 stripes, a circle of 6 pointed stars, and a 76 in the center. Davis says it first was flown over Bennington, Vermont, which is how it got its name. He uses the unique flags when he teaches classes.
One of the pillars of our organization is Americanism, and one of the ways we do that is flag classes at elementary schools and the like. And it's really great. Kids love the class and how to fold a flag and how to recognize when it's just too beat up to be flown properly anymore.
Back to the 99-year-old flag, anyone who knows about the local connection can contact the Ketchikan American Legion, post number 3 on Park Avenue. They'll be happy to hear from you.